of the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting. This is episode 37 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for you, for me, and my co-host this week, a co-host you haven't heard on this show. He is a familiar voice to any of you that have wandered through chaotic portals or scrounged for spare parts. He is the main reason why I switched to engineering as one of my warlock's main professions, and I've never looked back. He is the Torin, the myth, the legend, MooGyver. Welcome to the show, Moo.
Wow, what an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to that. That's amazing, man. Thank you. Engineering is love, engineering is life, tink with pride.
Every co-host needs to have a cool intro, especially your first intro. And for those who are wondering, MooGyver, if all goes well, Australian scheduling issues and all that aside, if all goes well, it is my intention to have MooGyver be part of the regular rotation of co-hosts on the show here. So welcome, MooGyver. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's great to exercise my vocal cords again. I've been off the airwaves for a little while, just having a little break, and it's good to get the conversation going again. I'm feeling amped up already just talking to you. So it's really good.
Awesome. Well, for people listening in who may have not known too much about you in the past, you've done some WoW podcasting in the past, obviously, in a few places, but how about you tell my listeners just a little bit about your history in the game and your history podcasting?
Okay. Well, I'm basically a lifetime gamer, lifetime PC gamer. I've been a Blizzard gamer since the original StarCraft and Diablo. I have hosted and written and produced the spare parts segment that was on All Things Azeroth for many years. And for the last 4 years up until just recently, I've been a co-host on the Chaos Portal show with Le Grayson. And that show has actually just finished up in March. And so I'm now, I've actually not podcasting for the first time in, must be at least 6 or 7 years. So it's been quite a strange time.
Have you been going through withdrawals, the shakes or anything like that?
Not so much the shakes, really. No, it's been kind of a nice little break, not having to get up at, you know, the sparrow, you know, with the sparrows on a Sunday morning here in Australia, which is what I would make that sacrifice to make the times work for our show and all of that. And that was fine, and I did that for 4 years, but it's been nice to kind of get my Sunday mornings back, you know. So I do miss it, and I dearly miss Le Grayson, my host. He had to move on for personal reasons. He had to sort of refocus his time and his life a little bit, and I do miss him. I still correspond with him, of course, regularly, but not doing a show with him every couple of weeks is – I do miss it. I do miss it, and it's just good to talk on the airwaves. This is the medium that I feel I work best in. I don't write well. I've got a face that's really kind of made for radio, so this is the perfect format for me to get my thing out there, you know.
Well, I am happy to give you the opportunity to get back onto those airwaves at least once every couple of months or so, and just talk about all things World of Warcraft, which might be a little bit interesting for you, because as you told me before we started recording here, you're part of that crowd that's taking a little bit of a hiatus at the moment.
I am. This period of the expansion, the doldrums, as everybody often calls them, that little gap of time between the last patch and before the new expansion launches, generally I do keep playing. I stay subbed and I level my alts and I do all of that kind of stuff. But this time I've basically been going straight through for so long. I just needed a little bit of a change, a little bit of a break from everything. So I have unsubbed for a little while. And I'm actually trying to keep myself quite spoiler-free. So I did get an alpha invite. Thank you to the kind person who sent me that. I'm not going to name them, but you know who you are. And I spent about 20 minutes in it total, which I know is going to really make some people grind their teeth. But I just didn't – I really want to go into this expansion knowing as little spoilage as possible as I can. And obviously there's stuff here and there I'm picking up, and you know, little bits of story and things and that, but nothing that's earth shattering. And I read that there's a new comic that Blizzard have put out the other day. Jaina has returned to Theramore, mm-hmm. and there's a little bit of story going on there. And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, now what happens? What happens next? I'm like, I want to know, you know? And so that excitement is starting to build. So I think my technique has worked. So I'm getting amped, you know?
Yeah, they really, it's taken years and years to kind of refine the process, but Blizzard, the team gets better at refining the hype train and just building up the hype and letting it grow. And that comic was pretty awesome. I definitely suggest people check it out because it was pretty cool and it gives you a little insight to just what the heck Jaina's been doing while she wasn't in Legion at all.
Exactly. And look, that was one of the primary things. Like she left Dalaran and said, right, throw my hands in the air. I'm out, guys. See ya. Two fingers in the air. Off she goes. And we didn't hear from her since. And this tells us kind of what she's been up to and gives us a feeling of and in fact, it gave me an insight. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it gave me an insight into Kul Tiras and Jaina's relationship with Kul Tiras that I hadn't really thought about too much, except in passing. And it was like, So, yeah, there's a lot more to be explored there, and I'm kind of interested. I want to get in. It's going to be good. Unfortunately, I'm a Horde main, so I'm going to have to take my time and wait till my Dwarf Mage is ready to go through Kul Tiras. So, yeah.
You see, that's what's been so awesome for me as I've been testing the content on the beta. Because I play a Horde main myself, I decided that for beta testing, I would play the Alliance playthrough. Mm. And it's been actually quite fascinating to see that side of the story. And I'm not going to spoil anything so that you can experience it on your Dwarf. But it's been a fun ride so far. And I have to say, the storytelling experience for leveling, at least on the Alliance side, because I can't speak for Horde yet, is solid. It's as solid a leveling experience as Legion, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, my approach to the gameplay has always been story is what keeps me there. The ongoing story, the ongoing saga, if you will. That's what keeps me coming back every time. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, and it's just whet my appetite that little bit more. I'm just kind of waiting for August now. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's not far away now, just a few more months. I'm sure we'll be doing the whole pre-patch, pre-expansion content within several weeks or so, and I'm pretty hyped up for that.
Oh, yes.
This week, or this episode, is kind of an interesting one because recent events have to a degree shaped what our main topic's going to be about. We're recording this on May 26th, so it's about, as you're listening to it, it's probably about a week old from the recording. But a couple days ago, there was the unfortunate news that a member of the WoW podcasting community from many a year ago had passed away. And I'm sure if you've followed me on Twitter or followed a number of other content creators on Twitter or even follow Blizzard, you'd be aware of it. John Bain, known to most on the content creation side as Total Biscuit, passed away after a very brave, long fight with cancer. I have already talked about this by this point. I've already talked about John on the Realm Maintenance podcast, so I'm not going to spend 15 or 20 minutes going on about, but I do think it's worth bringing it up briefly. This man, it was a significant part of my early podcast listening days. His podcasting career with WoW ended before I started Realm Maintenance. The final episode of Blue Please happened in June. I started podcasting a year later, but I'd known about Blue Please for the longest time. He was, in many ways, kind of a polar opposite to what Scott Johnson does on the instance, where Scott kept things, you know, really big picture and casual. Total Biscuit was kind of more the shock jock, the elitist. He would pick things apart that was going on and off in WoW. He was very cynical, but at the same time, very entertaining. And he was as critical as he was about the game, because for the longest time, it was a primary passion of his. His career would not have become as successful as it would eventually would be had it not been for his passion for World of Warcraft back in those days, and just the entertainment value that he brought to listeners and watchers on YouTube and everything. He will always be in my WoW Podcasting Hall of Fame. I think that kind of sums up my general feelings. It's been a couple of days now since his passing, and I've had some time to kind of process it all. But I was like, when I first found out the news, I did not think that the passing of a man that I'd only met once in person would bring me to tears. And that did. And that just kind of goes to show just how much of an impact that he had on me as a podcast listener. I know that you also listened to Blue Please in the past. Yes. So just what are your thoughts?
Well, look, I mean, John Bain was like, I can't think of another voice in podcasting that was like him. I mean, we had other shows, and especially, I mean, you know how hard it is to run a one voice show. And look, yeah. I managed to do it for at the most a 10-minute segment. I mean, you've managed to do it for years on much longer time. But I mean, to keep up that amount of energy and to keep that show going for as long as he did with a single voice and not having anybody to bounce off. I mean, the guy was talented, there's no doubt about it. He was an entertainer. He could really cut into an issue. And look, that's not to say that I agreed with everything he did. There was plenty of stuff that I just went, whoa, you know, this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, he took no prisoners. That was his style. You know, he crashed or crashed through. And look, no matter what your personal opinions of him, you've certainly got to respect the energy that he put forth into pursuing what he wanted, which was reviewing and getting the news about video gaming out there. You know, even until his last days, he was still going, you know, still reviewing, still putting stuff out there. And I really just think that shows the amount of energy and passion that he had for this medium and for the industry in general. And I've just got to say, 33 is far, far too young for anybody. I mean, I mean, when I first started listening to him, this was, you know, back in, you know, 2008, I would say, to listen to him, he sounded like, you know, your mid-50s shock jock. And he was actually like 6 years younger than me. You know what I mean? It was just, and I didn't find that out until later. And it was like, you know, where did this guy come from? And, you know, he held his Britishness, you know, he waved it like a flag. He didn't try and cater to anybody. He was like, well, if you don't like what I've got to say, go somewhere else. You know, love him or hate him, you've got to respect that part. So there's no doubt that I don't think you'll ever see another one of him come along, ever. And I'm going to put that out there right now.
Yeah, he was a very opinionated, polarizing individual. He made a lot of statements and he made a lot of choices that even after his passing are being talked about and being judged. There are people who honestly, with his words and words alone, he made laugh and cry. And there are people who, from their point of view, with his words, he caused pain and emotional distress. At the end of the day, I take value and remember him primarily as a hell of an entertainer, a content creator, and someone who inspired countless numbers of others to follow in his footsteps as podcasters or content creators, and his impact on the community. We are better off for having John Bain in our lives in that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, when WoW Radio was on the air, and you know, that was a long time ago now, it finished over 8 years ago. I mean, that's a long time. And when I was listening to it back then, Casually Hardcore, hosted by Gnome Wise and his crew, and Blue Please were the two shows that I had listened to on that network. And I mean, it was just, there was nothing else like it out there. And I would come and go, like every so often he'd say something, I'm like, nah, that's it. I'm done with this for a while. And then I would come back just to hear what he had to say. But I think what really turned it around for me was particularly around the time that Cataclysm launched. And he did a whole series of videos on the revamped world that he placed up on YouTube. And going and watching that and just seeing the enthusiasm and the love, he really did have a love for that game at the time that just mm-hmm. couldn't be quenched. And that came right through in those videos. And you could see it. And it was just amazing to see that. That really kind of made me understand him a little better, I think, in as far as I possibly could understand him. So yeah, he's definitely absolutely. Going to be definitely going to be missed, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and missed by none more than of course his wife and his son. If any of you have any desire to help Jenna Bain and her son Orion as far as expenses dealing with Toll Biscuits Memorial and just what may be coming ahead for them, because you can't really build up a nest egg when it comes in terms of content creation. It's not the easiest thing in the world. If you want to contribute as far as a memorial goes for John Bain, you can go to GoFundMe.com/TotalBiscuit if you wish to help out there. All right, so turning things to a little less serious, a little more lighthearted, but still kind of in the same tribute and spirit to what we just talked about. Moo, because you've been doing what you've done on the Chaos Portal, one of the primary things that the Chaos Portal did was dive into forum posts. And absolutely. There was another content creator and a former co-host in the regular rotation here, D2D, with his Sheep Moon podcast. Of course, the guardian of the forums, Sheep Moon, very much a spiritual successor to Blue Please. He did things in his own way, but in many ways, it was kind of a tribute to what John did with Blue Please. So what I would like to do, I think there's no better way than to just kind of, in the spirit of both of those shows and everything, to open up the forums and once again dive on in, look at some of the stuff that people are saying, and just give our own personal take on it, where we think that these people are completely out of their gourd, or if there might be a little bit of sense here.
Well, so, when we were doing the Chaos Portal, I always felt that I was the straight man to Le Grayson's twisted kind of view of things. And he proudly wears that badge, and he always has, and that show is his baby. I always like to think I was sort of the ring in that was it was meant to be the straight man, and so I would often take the devil's advocate. Well, maybe they're not as bad as what we think, but every so often, yeah, they were as bad as what you thought. So I'm going to put on my hazmat suit and wade into this to this pile, and we'll see what comes out.
All right, it'll be interesting to see how much our views are similar or different. I'm not entirely sure we'll agree on everything.
But, I don't think so. No, that's half the fun.
Yeah, indeed. So let's take a look at our first forum post here. The title for this one is Pathfinder Compromise. Compromise spelled with an E.
Compromise. Compromise.
Yeah, compromise.
Compromise.
So
it's French.
I hate to be a nitpicker, but when you see a forum title start like that, you know that it's going to be a winner, right?
Look, I'm a spelling stickler, but I forgive a lot of other people their spelling foibles, but it still makes me chuckle. I can't help it.
Yeah. All right, so this is from Photons, a level 37 Lightforged Draenei Paladin. So, hey, congrats on you for leveling to 37. He writes, what if Blizzard sold flying? I know we're going here. What if Blizzard sold flying in the new expansions for $60? I mean, if they're okay with a cash grab $60 toon boost, then this should be a no-brainer, right? Sorry for yet another flying thread. Just a thought is all. The first thing I have to say is, no, sir. No, you are not sorry for another flying thread. You are the reason that the forums have the reputation that they have, and you should be burned at the stake.
This was, you know what? This was the first, as soon as I saw Sorry for Yet Another Flying Thread, my first thought that went through my head was, you're not sorry. How dare you suggest such a thing? No, it's not going to happen. No, they will not sell flying for $60. No. For the same reason that we don't sell gear, because it provides a specific leveling advantage that could not be gained in any other way and would advantage players who had the money to do it. No, it isn't going to happen. No.
Well, not only that, but not just a leveling advantage, but it would provide a significant advantage to gold makers. I mean, there are professions gathering, you know, when it comes to mining and herbalism, getting flying, being able to pay for flying and getting that head start to allow you to gather mats faster than you could getting flying the good old fashioned way by earning it. That's a significant thing. That $60 could turn into virtually a lot better value than that if you know how to use it.
That's right. And the other thing as well is that gold is no longer, I mean, they have to put gold sinks in, but gold is no longer a bar as such. I mean, when we go right back to, oh my God, I'm having a total mental blank, but the first expansion, Outland, Illidan,
Burning Crusade.
We're not prepared. Burning Crusade, that's the one.
Got
okay.
It.
Oh, God. Yes, I am rusty, folks. Okay, so
it's
first,
quite
you
all right.
First you had to get to level 70. Then you had to pay 5,000 gold. But that was it. Okay, 5,000 gold. That was the barrier. That was the bar. It was hard to do. These days, 2 million gold, people will drop 2 million gold on a spider mount, a dead set spider mount. It is no longer a bar. Thus, they have had to implement further changes to make flying something that you earn. And the only way they can do that and gate it properly is to have it be something that you have to play the game to do. You can't just work the auction house, pay your money, and off you go. That's the reason they've done it. And the reason they've done it like that is because if you got every single piece of content on day one, it's like you going, and I'm going to shamelessly steal this from Matt Rossi because he said this years ago, and it's a perfect analogy. Mm-hmm. You go to the fridge, you open the door, you eat every single thing in the fridge, and you go, oh my God, I'm so stuffed. I can't take another single thing out of this fridge. I can't eat another thing. I'm sick of this. I'm going away. If you consume all the content in the first month, you're going to unsub and go away. Blizzard doesn't want that. They want to keep you subbed. They want to keep you playing. And thus spacing it out and moderating your intake of that food stops you getting sick of it, number one, and stops you getting full to bursting in the second.
Not only that, it's
a perfect storm.
Not only that, if you empty the fridge in one day, then what's going to happen when you go back to the fridge on the second and third day and you find there's nothing left?
Well, exactly. And that's the problem. People coming back to the fridge on the third day saying, where's my food? I need new food. I need new food. I don't want this old food. I want new food. And they're like, but you ate all the food. But I want more food. I want new food. No. We've got to moderate ourselves. And because we are not adults and we can't moderate ourselves, Blizzard has to do it for us. So if you don't like it, blame yourself for not being an adult, or blame other people for not being adults and spoiling it for the rest of us, because that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I understand the desire to be able to pay for that flying so that you can save a whole lot of time. And I understand that time is money and time can be precious. And maybe you don't have the time to do all the grinding that's necessary to do the Pathfinder achievement and unlock flying. I'm going to be a stickler and say that I feel that flying is just one of those things that it's one of the few non-direct character power level rewards that is earned and feels like it means something. It goes all the way back to my earlier RPG roots when I would play console RPGs, and usually you'd explore the map of a story in a fairly linear way, and you get near the end of the story and all of a sudden you get access to the airship or whatever plot device you get, which then gives you access to travel anywhere you want into the world and go back to stuff and do everything like that. Getting flying for an expansion, flying for Legion, flying for Battle for Azeroth, et cetera, feels kind of like that kind of reward to me. So, earn it. And by earn it, I don't mean earn $60 because that's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, the other thing about that is the first thing people say is, oh, well, you just pay $60, you get a boost tune. That's the same, isn't it? No, it's not the same, because the boost tune lets you get into the current content. It lets you play with your friends. It lets you catch up with everybody else. If it was really $60 for a boost that was pay to play or pay to win, it wouldn't boost you to the initial starting level for the expansion. It will boost you to the end level for the expansion. They want you to play through that. If you had a current boost that went to 120 so that you could skip all of that leveling content, that would be pay to win. That isn't how it works.
It is not. I'm going to
underline. Done.
All right. Let's move on to our next post. This one is called Honest Question About Challenge Skin Removal. And this is from this is from Arisa, level 110 orc shaman, who writes, coming from someone that completed the Mage Tower challenge several times, why? You have all the scaling technology. Why not allow the challenge to continue throughout BFA and just up its difficulty with each level? People only be able to complete it like once a month or so based on how fast supplies get gathered. I just don't see an honest reason why it's being taken away. Make the achievement of Feat of Strength, but still allow people to try and get them. I gave my early reaction to the first one. Moo, you give me yours to this.
Okay, so I'm going to put myself out here and say I tried the Mage Tower once and then went, nah, not for me. So I understand the want to get all the things, like everything. You also need to sometimes resign yourself to the fact that you cannot get all the things. So I'm sorry, that's just how it is. This is a system that was put in for Legion. It isn't going through to Battle for Azeroth, and they aren't going to re-engineer it for Battle of Azeroth because there's a whole bunch of other stuff in Battle for Azeroth they need to work on. They don't want to work on stuff for past expansions. You don't see them still implementing stuff to win in Timeless Isle for the same reason. They want you to move on to the new stuff. Now, there should also be some kind of recognition for the people that put in the work. And this guy said, oh, I've completed the Mage Tower challenge several times. That's fantastic. Enjoy that. You got to complete the Mage Tower challenge several times. I tried it once and just went, I can live without having to do this. Because I just realized that banging my head on a wall for a skin for my weapon or whatever the hell it was, I can't even remember what the hell it was for, not worth it for me. It really wasn't. It just was not. And, you know, this also kind of frees up these things to appear later on the Black Market Auction House, which is another gold sink. I mean, we can go all the way back to Wrath of the Lich King and see this kind of pattern where you had proto-drakes that appeared in high-level raiding content that while the raiding content was current, you got the drake. Once that raiding content was over, drake never dropped, and it was ultra-rare. All of a sudden, they start appearing in the Black Market Auction House, available for people to buy, and they go in for staggering amounts of gold. It's another gold sink, which is great. I'm not quite sure how they're going to implement. What did you get out of the Mage Tower anyway? It was a weapon skin, right?
Yeah, it's just a weapon appearance, and depending on your tastes and preferences, it might have been a great-looking weapon appearance or one that looks terrible, which is a primary reason why I haven't done the Mage Tower, because I think the destruction appearance looks awful.
Well, I've got to say that I've been playing a Marksman Hunter the whole time, and I don't think I was wrapped in that weapon appearance, which is probably why I couldn't be really bothered doing it that much. In fact, when I first went to do it, I thought it was just another daily. I didn't realize it was a special thing. And then and then afterwards, I was like, man, this is really hard. And, oh, it's an orange quest marker. Yeah, okay, I might come back to that in a few months. And I never came back. So, yeah, it's fine. It'll appear later. But if you could do it, you can do it. If you can't, then Blizzard don't want you going back to Legion and doing it later on. To implement that scaling, I think, would probably actually be harder than it would be to just concentrate on the current content. And as everybody knows, you know, if they start working on, you know, old weapon appearances in Legion, we lose a raid tier. That's how it goes, isn't it? I mean, that's the equation, right? So
You know, Moo, I think I'm going to cheat here, and instead of being creative and coming up with some sort of flourish and a few clever quips and stuff like that, I'm just going to go to a blue post here and go to the first blue response that there was to this forum thread, and community manager Ornix pretty much sums up how I feel.
Blue, please.
Right, blue, please. There you go. Yeah. His reply, and like I said, this pretty much follows what I believe too. He said, though it can be easy to have a differing opinion here, I believe this is a part of it. The Mage Tower appearance will be akin to the legendary cloaks and other legendary quest lines from recent expansions, wherein it will serve as a badge of honor from Legion, saying, I was here, and I did this. I personally think trying to keep the Mage Tower challenge balanced and up-to-date would be a bit of a distraction from current content, and it's probably not something the development team would want to devote time to. I'd much rather a development team focus on Battle for Azeroth content and make something like Mage Tower again in the future when the timing is right. This isn't anything new, so I encourage you to take opportunities as they are available and try to complete the challenge. Which, yeah, pretty much sums it up. I mean, I will just tag that by saying, how much time have we had to do the Mage Tower? If you haven't done it by now, if you do not get it done by the time Battle for Azeroth is here and the Mage Tower is basically inaccessible, it's no one's fault but your own.
Yeah. You've just got to resign yourself to that. I mean, that was the thing I found, is that I just had to kind of let it go and say, this isn't for me. I never completed my legendary cloak in Mr. Pandaria.
Oh, wow.
Never did it. I never did it. I got to a certain point and I needed some things and I realized that I wasn't going to get it done. And I thought, well, you know what? I can live with that. I don't need it. Now, my wife did. She got it. In fact, I think she got two of them from memory, which is great. But I didn't feel the need to be, you know, I didn't need to one-up her. I didn't need to be there as well. It was like, yep, that's great. And I don't know whether this is just me getting older and, you know, just, you know, I'm nearly in my 40s now. You know, these things maybe don't mean as much as they used to, like when I was, you know, grinding dungeons in Northrend. But yeah, I was like, yep, I can live without that. That's fine. It would be nice to have, but if I don't get it, it's not going to be the end of the world. I'm going to move on and have a look at the next thing and maybe do the legendary next time. And I got the legendary ring in the next expansion. It all worked out. I was happy. I was fine.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic here. The next one is called, get ready for this, BFA is going to be a bad expansion.
Oh, God.
I'm really going for the winners here this time all around, right. Moo.
Okay, shall I read this one? Because go for it. This is great. Okay. So this is a post by Isaac from the Metal Militia Guild. Located on the Area 52 realm, he's a 110 High Mountain Tauren Shaman. So we've already got High Mountain Tauren being 110. Congratulations. Yeah. This is actually quite interesting because they have gone ahead and pre-purchased the expansion and created a High Mountain Tauren Shaman. So clearly you would have thought that they would be enjoying Battle for Azeroth. But they say...
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. The fact that they're a High Mountain Tauren means they have BFA.
They have. And like, you can't get a refund. That's it. They've done their money. So, to quote, I have a feeling Battle for Azeroth will be lackluster. Here's why. We're coming from Legion. Whether you like it or not, Legion had a lot of new content. Some new classes and specs. You had artifact weapons, legendaries, mythic pluses, a new hero class with double jump and wings. In Battle for Azeroth so far, the new content has reskinned allied races. There is really no new content in Battle for Azeroth. And I understand that this is normal because the story is technically the new content, but the expansion is just lackluster compared to how much content we got in Legion. That's it. Pack it up, everyone. Battle for Azeroth's done. Let's go home.
Okay, Isaac, I want you to do a favor for me. I'd like he's listening to the show. But if for some weird, strange reason you are listening to the show, Isaac, I want you to do a favor for me. I want you to open up your web browser. I want you to go to www. Well, you don't even have to go www anymore. That's gone. But go to this little site called wowhead.com. And I think after a brief perusal of wowhead.com, you will find that there's a fair bit of content in Battle for Azeroth. Further, the fact that you pre-purchased Battle for Azeroth blows my mind, and you say that there's not going to be any new content. Might I bring up a little thing called Island Expeditions? Might I bring up a little thing called Warfronts. Might I bring up a little thing called Azerite gear, which, yes, I know is a different take on basically artifact weapons and legendaries, but having beta tested, having seen how Azerite gear works, it feels different. And it doesn't feel worse. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say it feels better than what we have, but it feels different and it feels engaging right now. The fact that we don't have a new class is fine because honestly, at this point, we have enough classes in WoW. There's only one class that I would want added to World of Warcraft going further, and that's like a bard at doing like a true support class, something they've never done before and something that they'll probably have difficulty bringing into WoW. That's a whole other episode. I don't think WoW needs more classes really outside of trying to think outside the box and do that. We're fine on classes. The leveling content is where a bulk of your money is paid when it comes to getting this stuff. The content I just mentioned with Warfronts and Island Expeditions, have you been paying attention to anything? Like, if you're trying to keep yourself spoiler-free from Battle for Azeroth, then obviously you're going to say, well, there's nothing new coming up at all. But obviously, and again, it just blows my mind that this guy pre-ordered Battle for Azeroth. If there was nothing new in Battle for Azeroth, why the hell did you pre-order it?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is there is plenty of new stuff, and it is very much like what we got before. I mean, you could have made the same argument with some of this prior to Legion coming out. Oh, well, Class Order Halls, that's just the garrison again. I hated the garrison, so I'm going to hate this. And yeah. Oh, what do you mean I don't get a new weapon all the time? I've got one weapon the whole time. That sucks. What do you mean there's only one continent? Whoa, what's going on? So this time we're getting two continents. Isn't that better? Plus the island expeditions. I don't know. Is it? We're getting all of this new Azeroth. We're getting a whole new system, whole new systems, and there's plenty of stuff there. Yes, yeah, some stuff is going. And to be perfectly honest, before Legion came out, I actually thought we already had enough classes. I didn't really see a need for Demon Hunters. I've changed my mind because Demon Hunters are awesome. I don't play one. I did try one out. Not for me, but they are for some people, and they fill a little gap that I didn't even know was there. But that's great. That's good. It doesn't matter that we don't. We haven't had a new hero class since Wrath of the Lich King, and there didn't seem to be a problem with any of the other expansions. So, this happens. To quote Battlestar Galactica, all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again. You know, it's it's a pattern. We see this at the end of every expansion. Oh, this is the same old thing, or this isn't new enough, or this isn't changed enough. And there's a lot of new stuff. It just depends on how far you're looking into it and how, you know, you can't knock it till you tried it. Now, that's an old Aussie saying. You can't knock it till you tried it. So give it a go. Try it out. Obviously, you've already bought the expansion. So, you know, he's playing
the
High Mountain
Thorin.
That's
the thing about this post, and I didn't even realize that until you brought it up. It just makes this post even more a headache. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And look, I haven't pre-purchased the expansion because I'm not that interested in playing the Allied races just yet. So I'm going to play through on my main. Then later on, when I'm feeling like a little bit of a change, I might go back and roll an Allied race. Maybe. I've got the option. There's lots of options. There's lots of things. You don't have to do all the things, but there's plenty of things for you to do if you want to do a lot of different things. And that's a good thing. And I think that's great. And I'm not worried about a lack of content because, look, if anything with Legion, I feel like we got so much content. I had no time for anything except for my main. And I don't know whether that's necessarily a good thing or not. I mean, obviously, it worked out really well for some people, but some people just got really burned out. And you can't please everyone. I think they did a great job pleasing as many people as possible. And I feel confident that the next expansion is going to go really well. So that's all there is to it.
Yeah, but- I'm I'm not really gloom and doom on Battle for Azeroth. Do I have my concerns? Of course. And I mentioned some of those concerns in my last episode. I share a lot of feelings with John Jagger in terms of some of the story things going on with Battle for Azeroth. But as a expansion of World of Warcraft, as far as gameplay systems and all that goes, as a whole, I am looking forward to playing the expansion. And I feel that there is a lot of content in there, especially for me, because Island Expeditions are freaking great. And Island Expeditions are what I wanted from the scenario system right after Mists of Pandaria, and had to wait three freaking expansions to finally get.
Well, yeah, good things come to those who wait, is what I've been told. So
absolutely.
You finally got the system you wanted.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one. This one is titled "Please Stop Saying Work for It." work for it being in quotes there. Moo, you want to read this short one?
Okay, so this is from Ninkashi, a level 110 Night Elf Rogue on the Cenarian Circle Realm from the Crusaders of Valor Guild. To quote, "I totally get people need to put in, quote, time or, quote, skill for a reward, but let's not compare our recreational video games to a job, or you kind of defeat the whole point of it. If the grind is not fun, if it is literally like working, why in the world is that a thing?" Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I agree. I play video games for recreation, for fun. Yes, you do need to put in time and skill. It shouldn't be handed to you on a silver platter. Part of the fun is the challenge in beating something. But if it is so hard as to be unbeatable, you're not having fun, you need to put it down and go and do something else. And this is something I have been saying for years, and I'm thumping the table here as I say it, because the minute you are not having fun playing a game, like really not having fun, I don't mean just like, you know, having a 5-minute frustration at the Mage Tower, for example. If you're really not having fun doing it, your recreation time is far better spent doing something that you enjoy and are having fun doing. And this is the reason that I'm currently unsubbed. I was not having fun playing WoW. I had done what I wanted to do. I needed a break, and I'm taking one. And that is a healthy thing. It doesn't mean I love WoW any less. It doesn't mean that it was, I want everything handed to me on a silver platter. It doesn't mean it was too hard. It just means I stopped having fun, and my recreation time, which is precious to me, is better spent somewhere else right now. I will come back to it later. And that's all there is.
And you know, at first when you said you were going to agree with this post, I thought, oh my gosh, you and I are about to have fisticuffs. We're about to disagree. Oddly enough, I agree with you, but I disagree with this post. And let me explain myself. The way I read this post, and of course I know when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, but I feel like there is an extra line of text that is not written here, but implied. And if Ninkashi does not mean this, there are other people who I know have shared similar feelings and opinions when they say, oh, this takes too long, this is too much of a grind, this is too hard, why not make it more accessible? Why not make it easier? Why do we have attunements from people in Burning Crusade? here's the thing. The grind is there so that the end reward feels like more of an achievement and an accomplishment. There are people who enjoy the grind because they enjoy the feeling they get when they finally reach the top of the mountain, when they invest that time and get the reward. You may not be one of those people. I'm not one of those people anymore. I used to be one of those people that enjoyed a very long grind and what you got after it. I played Final Fantasy XI, where you spent months upon months in endgame content just to hope that you get one or two pieces out of what is the equivalent of your class tier set. I knew what grinding was like in MMOs. I've been there, I've done that. I'm not that kind of person anymore because I have other stuff I want to do with my life. I have other games I want to play. I have a job. I have podcasts. I have other things I want to do. So I don't want to do those long grinds anymore. Does that mean that I want Blizzard to hand it to me on a silver platter? No. It means that I'm not the person that these grinds are designed for. And I'm not going to bitch and moan about it. I'm going to let the people who want to grind, grind. and I will spend my time doing stuff that I'm going to enjoy. For those of you who are complaining about grinding and saying that stuff should be made more accessible to you because you're paying $15 a month or gold, whatever, a month for your WoW sub and stuff like that, no. Your sub does not make you entitled to all of the content that World of Warcraft has. The $60 that you paid for the expansion, stuff like that, doesn't necessarily mean that you are entitled to everything the game has. That's like me saying, I paid $60 for God of War. I should be able to kill the boss Valkyrie on the hardest difficulty in the game because I paid my fair money for it. No, it's because if I want to do that, I'm going to need to spend the hours upon hours of grinding the game, getting the end game gear that you need to do it, and learning how to execute that fight well. Do I choose to do that? No. Am I unhappy about it? No, because that's not for me, but I still think that God of War is one of the best freaking games I ever played. My point is, if you don't like the grind, like Moose said, don't grind. Do something else. Have fun.
Like so many of these arguments, all of these arguments basically come down to not being on the extreme side of one or the other, because you're going to have people on one side who are going to say, no, the way you really show your love for this game is by grinding it the hard way. And if you don't grind it the hard way and you don't enjoy every single second of it, then you hate the game.
You're not a real WoW player if you haven't grinded a prestige 10 like this.
Oh my God. Yeah. And this is exactly what I'm saying. And this is, this is where things like the Mage Tower. I look at the Mage Tower. I tried it. It ain't for me. There are some people who will butt their heads against that thing for months, and then maybe they'll get it in the end, and that's an achievement for them. For me, it is not worth my time, but that's fine. Have it. You can have your thing, and I can have my thing. We don't have to have all the things. And I think this is where this particular post, and again, I'm not going to assume, I don't think this person is necessarily saying that they should be on that far extreme end of it. They're saying, hey, you can put in the time, but if the grind is not fun, if it literally is like working, why is that a thing? And for them, that isn't enjoyable for them. So I would say to them, don't do it. Go and do something else. You want to talk about grinding? I played EverQuest for several years. I never got to level cap, ever, okay? I ground engineering in Wrath of the Lich King all the way up to max level using all of the old recipes. And that was an onus I placed on myself. I wanted to get to max level engineering. I wanted to have all the little trinkets and all of the toys. And yes, I had to put in the work for that because it was a value to me. And a lot of other people will look at that and say, well, why would you do that? What's the point? Well, that's not the point. I enjoyed it. I'm playing the game the way I enjoy it, and that's fine. You don't have to validate my enjoyment of this game. The only person who can validate my enjoyment is myself. And if everybody took that attitude, I think a lot of these questions would go away. I really do. And I'm getting really fired up about this now. But yeah, it's the extreme cases. You can't go black or white on this. There's a happy middle ground that everybody's got to find for themselves, and that's what they've got to do. They've got to be adults and find that for themselves. They can't have – that's the bit they can't have them handed to them on a silver platter, is how to enjoy their game. That's what they need to figure out for themselves.
I agree on that. Our final topic is one that's near and dear to my heart. it's called 4 hours to go 10 tiny levels. Pathetic. I'm going to read this one that – yeah, 4 hours for 10 levels. Pathetic. Oh, my goodness. This is from Avakins in the guild Double Rainbow. Great, great guild name.
What does it mean?
I don't know, but she has 22,000 achievement points, so she's played this game a while. She has a level 30 Void Elf Priest. She has more achievement points than me, which is saying something. So she's played a lot of WoW, and this is her opinion. She says, so far, I'm at 4 hours in my slash play, just going from 20 to 30, and that's with some rested XP. I had some rested before I did my 20 to 25, and some more rested before I went 25 to 30. I mean, this is not even slightly, quote-unquote, fun. What takes so long is this. I pick up some quests. I have to get to where the quests are, which is wasting time even on my mount, which seems slow. In other words, oh no, I can't teleport. Boo-hoo. And then sometimes, thanks to phasing and such, I was having a hard time finding quest mobs because they are dead or low drop rates. And the XP for the quest turn-ins isn't even remotely worth it. The best XP I got was from completing a dungeon, but even dungeons now take far too long for the XP you get. Scaling is cool, I can go to any zone I pretty much want, however this XP stuff is pathetic. I can't imagine taking this tune all the way to 120 at this snail pace. It's boring, and I didn't think leveling could get more boring. In fact, I thought with scaling it'd get more fun. Maybe if the XP wasn't so pathetic. Give us more XP, I'm not buying a boost.
Oh.
Okay.
Four hours from 20 to 30. The first thing that comes to my mind is boo effing who.
Now, this is what I'm wondering. I don't know when this player started playing World of Warcraft, but the fact that the player has 22,000 achievement points, I would like to think that they've been playing since, you know, maybe at least Burning Crusade or Lich King, either that or... There's it's such a weird kind of dichotomy with this, because if they've had all this time to accumulate over 22,000 achievement points, I feel like they've invested a lot of time in WoW, and as such, they're used to things taking a significant amount of time in order to get 22,000 achievement points. That means getting some achievements that require a lot of long grinds and things that have stupid hard drop rates or things that take, you know, 100 battleground victories and stuff like that. So this person should be used to things that take a while. All of that said, I think 4 hours for 10 levels is fine. I think 4 hours for 10 levels is fine because back when I played Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, I think in 4 hours of gameplay, I could gain maybe a level an hour if I went hard at it. So to get 10 levels in 4 hours, I don't see that as necessarily being a problem. Now, when you stack it up against the fact that, yes, we're going to level 110 and soon level 120, that does seem like a hell of a long journey. But this is specifically why the dev team implemented the whole character boost thing, so that when a new expansion comes in, if you pre-order the new expansion, if you're opting into the expansion, you get that character boost to take a character up to right before what is current content. If you don't want to invest all that time to get up to 110 or 120, there's another option to you. That doesn't necessarily mean you're forced to buying a character boost. I know you're saying you're not buying a boost. I feel like this is a non-complaint. I understand that you don't like the time that's taking, but it's taken longer in the past. Furthermore, may I provide a solution to what may make it slightly more fun? And I know I'm really stepping outside of the box here when I say this, friends. Last I checked, World of Warcraft is an MMORPG that stands for Massively Multiplayer Online RPG. I would reckon that if you did leveling with one or more friends, because remember, there's scaling going around and everyone's scaled to the same level as far as content goes when you're in a party and such like that. If you were to do this leveling experience with friends, it would be a bit more entertaining, it'd be a bit more engaging, it'd be a bit more fun, and the grind wouldn't seem like that big a deal. I can say this from experience. Anytime that I have leveled with another person compared to leveling by myself, leveling with another person just seems like it's such a more enjoyable experience. Time goes by faster. Levels feel like they go by faster. I think trying to level solo in World of Warcraft right now can feel like a hell of a grind, and we've already talked about grinding, and you already know my opinion about grinding and moves about grinding. So either I'd say, you know, if you don't want to buy the boost, look for alternate solutions, whether it's using the character boost that you get when you get the new expansion, or try leveling with friends, try leveling with other people, because going alone can make it feel longer. That's all I got to say.
It can, and I'm going to approach this. So my initial reaction, of course, was, well, boo-hoo. You're asking for 4 hours from 20 to 30. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here and suggest that this person has completed the level grind many times. In fact, I would suggest that they've probably completed the level grind since Cataclysm several times. And what they're noticing is they're noticing the difference now in that you're staying in one quest zone for a heck of a lot longer than you used to because of the scaling. I had this exact issue leveling a dwarf, and I was running through Searing Gorge or one of those volcano places. I think it was Searing Gorge, and it really did feel like it was going on forever. Now, my leveling, I was actually leveling at the same pace, but because it was keeping me in the zone for longer, it felt like a lot longer. And I was enjoying it at first, but it reached the point where I was like, come on, can't this zone just end? I really want to move on to the next thing. And eventually it reached the point where I couldn't complete the final quest because there was a little bit of scaling weirdness that kind of made it hard to solo because there was a bug and a few other things like that. So I ended up saying, all right, fair enough, I'm going to abandon this. I'll move on to the next zone and just, you know, pick up and move on. That's fine. The best bit about the scaling is I now have loads more options for the level range that I was in. So there are ways around this. Okay. What they're feeling is they're feeling more stretched out in the zones that they used to. What they probably did is they would do five quests in a zone, they'd out-level it, they'd move on to the next one. Five quests in that zone, they'd move on to the next one. It makes it feel faster. And on purpose, this has been changed. So now you're getting more of the story and all of that kind of stuff, and they're noticing that. So I'm going to put a lot of that down to that. So, and there are some little weird things. It is now much harder to just completely blast through a zone completely OP, and they're probably noticing that as well. You actually have to play the game. It isn't just a cakewalk like it used to be in a lot of places, and that's fine too. That's fine because you're still getting XP for all of those things. But honestly, 4 hours to gain 10 levels, that's really pretty good compared to the old days. So I don't think there's a terribly large amount to go. I empathize, but you got to pick yourself up and move on. If you don't like the place you're in, move on to the next one. That's really what they need to do. And I know exactly why they're leveling as well and they're not taking the boost because they've selected a Void Elf. They're going after their heritage armor, so they can't use the boost. They have to do this the old-fashioned way. And I'm going to bring it back around. This is a challenge that they have placed upon themselves. They do not have to get that armor. They have chosen to do this to get that armor. If the reward of that armor is not good enough for you to continue this grind, then stop the grind. That is on you and nobody else.
There is the listener email segment for Blue Please often in the past was called the illusion of choice.
Oh, with a little hammer throw sounder. I miss that dearly.
Yep, and it was called the illusion of choice because sometimes TB would pick an email or sometimes he'd just make one of his own, hence the illusion of choice. I bring that up because I want to say that in terms of this, there is not an illusion of choice. There are choices. There are options. Whether or not you choose to remove those options is up to you. If you're saying, I'm not going to buy a character boost, or I'm not going to level with friends, or I'm not going to change zones because this zone feels like it's taking forever, you are choosing to take those options out of the picture. You have choice in World of Warcraft. It is there before you. We have more agency and more choice in this game than we had back in the days when Total Biscuit was complaining and criticizing the game for what it was doing wrong and why players are bad and they should feel bad. You have choices. Feel free to make them. And if you decide that you're not going to do something, well, that's still your choice. Moo, thank you for being on the show. I feel like this was a perfect way for you to kind of get your, not feet wet, but your hooves wet, as it were, in the madness of this show.
I'm kind of sitting here in my chair stretching like, yeah, that was a good warm-up. I think I'm ready to tackle a few more forum posts now. But alas, the show has ended. But it's been good fun. I haven't had a chance to have a good conversation like this over the air with somebody for a while, and it's just great. It just feels really good to kind of be back into it and getting my voice out there and having people hear what I have to say, because let's face it, as podcasters, we love people hearing what we have to say. I'm not going to make any bones about that. But I always try to do it in a positive way and a way that is encompassing, like a big warm hug. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to get out there and do that again, because it's been great and I look forward to doing it again in the future.
Absolutely. I look forward to doing this again with you in a couple months as well. I'm really close to the launch of Battle for Azeroth, timing-wise, if I'm not mistaken. Between now and then, though, Moo, if my listeners want to get in touch with you, give their feedback, yell or scream at you, or just see what you're up to down under, where can they find you?
Okay, the best place to find me and the place that I spend pretty much most of my time online is on Twitter, at Moogyver, that's M-O-O-G-Y-V-E-R. I have a few other things that are pretty much idle right now, so they'll come back on stream in a few months as we get ramped up into Battle for Azeroth. But for now, it's just me talking about me and my family and my cat and work and all of that boring stuff that everybody else does.
I can't wait till you have a spare part segment where you talk about being the mad bomber.
Well,
because there's a lot of bombs in engineering.
Well, we didn't get into it in this show, unfortunately. But there have been a lot of profession changes that I'm really looking forward to. So, who knows? It may be back. It may be back.
Yeah, I have a feeling, especially since we'll be really close to Battle for Azeroth's launch next time you and I talk. I have a feeling that professions will likely be the showcase topic for you and I, because I feel like you and I can spend a fair deal of time talking about that.
Well, it's one of those things that there's so much change between now and the new expansion. I feel like right before the expansion launches is the best time to talk about it. So I can't wait. That'll be great.
All right, folks, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. You can also follow the show at RestartCast. You'll hear that again in just a couple of moments. If you want to support what we're doing here on this show and the other podcasts that are put together by Realm Maintenance Productions, such as Hearth Casual for your Hearthstone folks or the Realm Maintenance Podcast itself, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Every bit of support helps. And even if you don't support the show that way, 5-star reviews, all that good stuff is always much appreciated. Until next time, when Moo and I are talking about professions, or who knows who I'll be talking about with my co-host next time. Until then, I've been Ro, he's been Moo, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covers the Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between May 28th and June 3rd of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Three Goblins and Trenchcoat, All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Battle.net Sports, Battletag, Blizzard Umbrella, BlizzPro Weekly, Blue Recluse, Epic Fail, Freezing Nomad, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, Icy Veins, The Instance, Lightning Balls, Nerf This, The Sundering, Tank and Spank, Torn Think Tank, The Training Dummies, and Twisted Nerd Blockcast. Your World of Warcraft shows are Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Countdown to Classic, Darkmoon Herald, Decoded, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, Half-Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lorecraft Podcast, Lorewatch, Merely a Setback, No Finger, Polycast, Pwncast, Raiders Confessional, Starting Zone, Summoning Stone, Technically PvP, Weekly Reset, Organ Style, World of Warcast, Wild Talk, Wellhead Weekly, and Zephyr's Adventure. Inside the tavern, we have Six Iron Dusty Iron Chicken, Around the Hearth, Blizzard Hearthstone, The Clock Coin Concede, Daring Reporter, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Innkeeper's Podcast, Into the Wild, Last Turn, Light Forge, It Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Tier 5 Podcast, Top Deck Kings, UHL Rundown, Vowed Town, Velvet's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone covered Diablo this week, The Pylon covered StarCraft, Heroes of Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Into the Nexus, Swords of Storm, The Nexus Trolls, and Troll Nate HGC. And finally, for Overwatch, we have Enter the Iris, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Instalock NYXL, Junkertown FM, Let's Break It Down, Low Team Damage, Omnic Lab, The Overcast, Overwatch League Daily, Overwatch League Network, The Owl Recap, and Watchpoint Radio. You can catch the weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance podcast. For links to all these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or your podcast app of choice. You can follow the show on Twitter at RestartCast, email the show at RollingRestartPodcast@gmail.com. The Rolling Restart is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can find archives of this show at rollingrestart.frozenfoxmedia.com. The music for the show is Shaping of the World, originally by Jason Hayes from Blizzard Entertainment and remixed by Pascal Michael Stiefel. No copyright infringement is intended. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.